This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Refusing to intervene. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, July 22nd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The latest hearing by the January 6th committee aimed to show what President Trump did not do during the Capitol attack versus what he did do.
The oldest president ever to serve in the White House has COVID, President Biden. And his doctors say he's doing fine and is isolating.
The Supreme Court has ruled against the Biden administration's immigration enforcement rules. Meanwhile, Republicans explore tougher laws.
And what's next for consumers with Netflix now introducing a cheaper version of the streaming service with ads?
It's going to be a tough sell for some people, but they're hoping that it will entice new members to join who don't want to pay the full price of a subscription. Other streaming services that are big competitors for Netflix have ad-supported tiers, including HBO Max, Hulu, and soon Disney Plus. So it's kind of the way the streaming industry is going.
Kelly Lawler at USA Today on changes to Netflix as it loses subscribers. Staff, supporters, and family members pleaded for then-President Trump to call off rioters the day of the Capitol attack 18 months ago, but they say he spent hours watching the events on TV instead. That was the focus of the latest hearing of the House committee investigating the incidents of January 6th, 2021. Here's a video of a deposition with former White House counsel Pat Cipollone.
Did you continue, Mr. Cipollone, throughout the period of time up until 4/17, continue, you and others, to push for a stronger statement?
Yes.
Were you joined in that effort by Ivanka Trump?
Yes.
By Eric Hershey?
Yes.
By Mark Meadow?
Yes.
Also, the Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General has launched a criminal investigation into the destruction of Secret Service text messages sought as part of investigations into the Capitol attack. Mr. Trump has said he did nothing wrong and has called the committee a partisan witch hunt. The committee will spend next month continuing its investigation before convening in September for additional hearings. Some unsettling moments during a stump speech by a Republican candidate for governor in upstate New York. A man climbed on stage and attempted to stab Congressman Lee Zeldin as he delivered remarks southeast of Rochester, but the candidate was unharmed. Mr. Zeldin was at a Veterans of Foreign Wars post-event in Perrington speaking about bail reform when an individual allegedly pulled out a sharp object after climbing on stage yelling, "You're done." Witnesses told Rochester First that the two wrestled a bit before AmVets National Director Joe Chenelly and others helped take down the suspect, State Assembly Member Marjorie Burns.
He was armed with metal knuckles, and the metal knuckles had attached to it knives that were shaped like cat's ears.
After the attack, Mr. Zeldin went back on the stage and continued his campaign remarks. Mr. Zeldin's opponent, New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul, said that she condemns the incident in the strongest terms possible. President Biden, the oldest person ever to serve as commander-in-chief, has tested positive for COVID-19. The White House says he's experiencing mild symptoms and will work in isolation. The White House physician says the 79-year-old Mr. Biden has a runny nose, fatigue, and an occasional dry cough. In a video on his Twitter account, Mr. Biden says he's doing well.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted. Symptoms are mild. And I really appreciate your inquiries and your concerns.
White House coronavirus coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha.
He's going to get care the way he would. I was going to say the way he would any other person. He's the president, so obviously he gets extra attention. But I don't think we have any expectations of any other symptoms at this point.
The Pfizer antiviral drug Paxlovid that Mr. Biden is taking has been shown to reduce the risk of severe disease by nearly 90% in high-risk patients, but Paxlovid has, in some cases, been associated with rebound infections.
Innovation. Resilience.
agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us. The Supreme Court has denied an emergency request from the Biden administration to reinstate its immigration enforcement guidelines. The guidelines urged customs officers to prioritize arresting illegals who pose a public safety threat and said they should weigh any mitigating factors, such as whether the immigrant is of advanced or tender age, and what effect deportation would have on his or her family. Meanwhile, months away from the midterm elections that could flip control of the House, Republican lawmakers already are plotting how they'll handle immigration issues if they emerge victorious in November. What to expect from Caroline Simon, immigration reporter at CQ Roll Call. Caroline, what are you hearing?
Republicans are definitely thinking really hard about immigration and border security ahead of the November midterm elections. It's something that they're campaigning on pretty heavily, and they're starting to really think ahead to what kinds of policies and oversight they might pursue if they were to win the majority. So that could be border security legislation. They're eager to rebuild President Trump's border wall, definitely increased accountability for the Biden administration on issues like immigration. A lot of Republicans blame Biden for historically high encounters with migrants at the border. So I think we'll definitely see a lot of that come up in oversight hearings. And there's even been some talk of impeaching Homeland Secretary Mayorkas. So all of that is potentially to come. It's helping them plan ahead, but it's also helping them sort of pitch themselves and what they might do if they were in charge to voters who are, you know, deciding what to do in November.
Is there anything specific that Republicans have planned if they win the majority in November with, say, regards to border security or the border wall?
Definitely. I think they're looking at bills that would undo some of President Biden's efforts on immigration. One thing that President Biden has sought to do is end the Remain in Mexico program, which forced migrants to wait in Mexico while their immigration claims were being processed. And Biden has attempted to undo that. Republicans are definitely eager to put that back in place. They also were definitely hoping to restart construction on President Trump's border wall. Just a reminder that if Democrats keep the Senate, and definitely with Democrats in control of the White House, Republicans might not be able to move any of these bills into law. So a big goal of theirs is to kind of show what they would be able to accomplish if they were to win control of the White House and the Senate. So a little bit more messaging rather than legislation that they hope will actually become law. But an important effort for them if they're going to show kind of what their immigration priorities would be if they were to control the White House in 2024 again, for example.
It's not, I guess, too different from what we're seeing now with just trying to get legislators on record, right, with a vote about how they feel about a particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you referenced, too, that there may be an effort to tighten asylum laws. What could that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think Republicans are concerned that because of sort of a lack of legal immigration pathways, a lot of migrants will travel to the border and seek asylum at the border, which is currently allowed under U.S. immigration law. But they are concerned that it's become sort of an overly broad way for people to come to the border and try to seek a legal status in the U.S. So I think you could see them try to change that immigration law. I'm not sure that they've really worked out the details quite yet of how they would do that, but certainly asylum is a big concern for them just because it's been a huge driver of migration to the southern border this year.
Yeah. We're speaking with Caroline Simon, immigration reporter at CQ Roll Call. Her story is called Republicans Plot Immigration Moves If They Control House. You referenced to more oversight. What might that look like?
I think it could actually look pretty similar in a lot of ways to what Democrats did when they won the House in 2018 and Trump was still in power. I think we'll just see a lot of oversight hearings from every committee on issues ranging from inflation to Afghanistan to all kinds of things, with border security expected to be a big focus. So I think we'll certainly see that out of the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee. And I know I've certainly heard several Republicans talk about even impeaching Secretary Mayorkas, yeah, who they blame for the historically high border encounters this year.
Well, you know, back up for just one second, because we talked about asylum and the backlog of cases. The number's just astonishing.
It's really staggering. And this is certainly an issue that both parties have tried to deal with. President Biden's his kind of approach to it has been trying to reform the asylum system through a rule that would allow asylum officers and not immigration judges to adjudicate cases. Republicans would rather see efforts to try to prevent migrants from coming to the border completely instead of kind of changing how their claims are dealt with once they're already here. But the immigration system has not been significantly updated for decades. It's an issue that both parties have sought to deal with, and there just hasn't been a lot of progress because the issue is just so partisan.
Thanks, Caroline. Caroline Simon, immigration reporter at CQ Roll Call. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The House January 6th committee focused on the investigation's main target, former President Trump. The panel last night examined Trump's actions on January 6, 2021, as hundreds of his supporters broke into the U.S. Capitol, guiding viewers minute by minute through the deadly afternoon to show how long it took for the former president to call off the rioters. Former Deputy White House Press Secretary Sarah Matthews.
There's a camera that is on in there at all times. And so if the president had wanted to make a statement and address the American people, he could have been on camera almost instantly.
The panel focused on 187 minutes between the end of Trump's speech calling for supporters to march to the Capitol and a video he released at 4:17 telling the rioters they were very special, but they had to go home.
Number two.
President Biden tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday morning as new variants keep case numbers high after 2.5 years of pandemic disruptions. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Ashish Jha.
Because the president is fully vaccinated, double boosted, his risk of serious illness is dramatically lower. He's also getting treated with a very powerful antiviral, and that further reduces his risk.
Biden's physician says the president was experiencing a runny nose and fatigue with an occasional dry cough. Officials from Russia, Ukraine, and the UN plan to sign a deal to resume exports of Ukrainian grain via the Black Sea, an announcement that raises hopes of freeing food supplies trapped by the Russian invasion. With at least 22 million tons of grain stuck in Ukraine, the passage could ease a global food crisis that has sent wheat and other grain prices soaring. The right to use contraceptives would be enshrined in law under a measure Democrats pushed through the House yesterday, their latest response to concerns a conservative Supreme Court that already erased federal abortion rights could go further. The roll call was largely along party lines. The measure goes to the Senate, where it's likely doomed. And now football players are getting into the pickleball craze. Major League Pickleball says retired NFL superstar quarterback Drew Brees has joined the ownership group of the Austin Mad Drops Pickleball Club. The group also includes Los Angeles Lakers co-owner Jim Buss. Brees says he's an avid pickleball player, fan, and student of the game.
How about that? Thank you, Jen. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Turns out not everyone is watching Netflix. The world's largest streamer lost 970,000 subscribers in the most recent quarter. It's been a bad few months business-wise. Now come changes. Here's Kelly Lawler, TV critic at USA Today. Kelly, what's up at Netflix?
We're sort of seeing like the reality that there isn't infinite growth to be available in streaming. I think a lot of sectors come to that realization at one point or another. Netflix lost 200,000 subscribers in Q1 of this year, which was a big deal because it was the first time they had lost since 2011, and really sent shockwaves through the industry and through Wall Street and caused their stocks to go down. And then caused Netflix to start making changes internally, including layoffs, and deciding that they would introduce an ad-supported tier after, for many, many years, saying they would never, ever put ads on the service. So they announced their quarter two losses, which were 970,000, which was less than they predicted. Yeah. So, and, you know, the world of Wall Street, that is kind of a win. at the very least, it's not a disaster for Netflix, which anything above 2 million would have been. But there are still changes coming. The ad-supported tier is coming in early 2023, they said. It's not clear what it will look like when the ads will be in your favorite TV shows and movies if you decide to buy that tier, or even what markets it'll be available in first. So, you know, stay tuned to that.
Yeah, boy. So this ad-supported tier, did they have any kind of feel of how that'll be received by consumers after being ad-free?
I mean, it's going to be a tough sell for some people, but they're hoping that it will entice new members to join who don't want to pay the full price of a subscription. The most popular subscription for Netflix is around $15 a month. Other streaming services that are big competitors for Netflix have ad-supported tiers, including HBO Max, Hulu, and soon Disney Plus. So it's kind of the way the streaming industry is going, because people cannot afford to pay $5 to $15 a month for six different streaming services and cable if they still choose to have that, which a lot of them will because of sports.
Right. We're speaking with Kelly Lawler, TV critic at USA Today. Her story is called Netflix Lost a Million More Subscribers and Plans Cheaper Version with Ads. What that means for you. Is it possible that Netflix's original content maybe is not as captivating, or are we really kind of maxed out, even if it is the greatest content ever?
Well, Netflix for several years has been trying to sort of be all things for all people. They aren't trying to be HBO. They're trying to be all of television. So they have reality TV. They have, you know, what we call prestige TV, like The Crown, that's very expensive with really A-list stars that wins Emmys. You know, they have children's TV. They have sci-fi. They have fantasy. They have westerns. They have everything. But doing that is quite expensive.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Lawler, TV critic at USA Today. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do you know what over 100 million people worldwide have in common? Their password, 123456. When NordPass researched 50 different countries' top passwords, that was number one. Here in the U.S., too. It's like some people want to get hacked. But believe me, you don't. That's why you need NordPass. NordPass isn't just a password manager. It's an essential cybersecurity tool. It generates secure passwords and stores them all in one place. You can even securely store your credit cards there, too, to save time shopping and browsing. NordPass has a very easy, user-friendly setup. I was ready to go in just a couple of minutes. And I love how simple it is to organize your data into categories like credit cards or secure notes. That's for things like our Wi-Fi password or the office alarm code. And if you don't like it, it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Get an exclusive NordPass deal plus one additional month free at nordpass.com/Gordon or use code Gordon at checkout. That's an exclusive deal plus one additional month free if you go to nordpass.com/Gordon.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, July 22. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden has COVID. Another January 6th committee hearing. GOP candidate for New York governor attacked during its stump speech. He was not hurt. Amazon pushes further into healthcare, buying a clinic operator. Latest inflation impact. AT&T says customers are falling behind on bills. The Rams say their Super Bowl rings have more carat weight than any other sports championship ring. And the latest on the Indiana guy who rescued five people from a burning home. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies provides growing businesses with the tools to do incredible things. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. More Americans are falling short on their financial responsibilities, like paying their bills or meeting with their financial advisor. In many cases, it's happening because they say they forgot.
How is this possible? Here's Veronica Dagger, personal finance reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Veronica, what's going on?
Well, you know, this is happening. More Americans are forgetting things like paying their bills or meeting with their financial advisors because they simply forgot. What I'm hearing from financial advisors and researchers, people are missing payments because, you know, of course they can't afford them. Some people are falling into that category for sure. But some of the stress due to inflation, the ongoing pandemic, the latest versions, stock market volatility, all this is causing people to be a bit distracted. All these headlines are kind of throwing people off their game a little bit. And so they're forgetting to do some financial tasks that they need to do.
So you referenced this woman, Sarah Pepper, 28 years old, I think recently moved from North Carolina to New York City. She said she recently forgot to pay her rent, and she's a good bill payer. Like in New York City, like the rent numbers are eye-popping. How do you forget that?
I know. Well, you know, part of it's because she's new to this city, but also, you know, if you're not everyone automates their bills, right? That's, you know, some people do, but a lot of people do, but some people don't, especially if you're in a new apartment, maybe you forgot to set that up. But in general, not everyone has a lot of money to withdraw from their accounts to have that auto pay. I'm not saying that was her case, but so she forgot to pay the bill, and she only remembered when the landlord sent a notice saying she was 2 weeks late and she owed $100 late fee. And these late fees, I mean, they're just killer, whether they're credit card late fees or they're late fees on your rent or some other bill. It's just like, oh, who needs that? You know, we don't have that kind of money right now to deal with that sort of thing. So another motivation not to forget, put those extra reminders on your calendar.
We're speaking with Veronica Dagger, personal finance reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called People Have Money, But They're Forgetting to Pay Bills. So later in the story, you talk about cognitive psychology and how that can help us understand why we forget about things like financial tasks. What does that mean?
Yeah, it sounds kind of funny, but yeah, right. This whole idea that our brains perform two different types of tasks when faced with information. So this processing task and this maintenance task. So in an interesting way, you know, our brains generally can't do both at the same time at once. And so, you know, this is a reason why it's so difficult for us to do complex math in our heads. And so the more tasks that crowd our minds, the less likely it is that we'll go back and refresh our memory of previous tasks we need to complete. So just do an example. Say you get an email that your electric bill is due, and then you get a call that your daughter is sick. Well, everything about that bill kind of will go automatically out of your mind, most likely, because you'll be, of course, focusing on your daughter. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of being able to come back to needing to do that task, you're probably going to forget. And so this is an example of why we forget. It's a small example, but I think it illustrates what a lot of people are going through. It seems like there's just so many crises popping up lately, whether it's in the world or in our own personal lives, that are taking us a bit off track.
So how do we help ourselves?
Right. So you can do things like automate your bills if you can afford to do that. Of course, write things down and speak to your doctor if you have serious concerns about your memory, of course. But one technique is linking something to something else to create an anchor. So, for example, if you know your water bill is due on a Saturday and that's the day you go to yoga, you could try to link the two by saying, when I fill my water bottle for yoga, I'm going to remember to pay the water bill. And so linking something you need to remember to something that's already in your long-term memory can create that anchor and help you remember. That's one strategy.
Give another.
Prioritization. And so figure out what's the most critical financial task for you to do right now, such as maintaining enough money in your checking account, and address those first. Also, schedule time where money-related work is your only focus. So using an accountability partner like a friend or a family member to help you keep that commitment can also help. And let that person know what you want to accomplish in that time to ensure you're actually going to keep your commitment. So keeping focused, having someone to check in with can help keep you on track.
Thanks, Veronica. Veronica Dagger, personal finance reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, as we head into the weekend, there are a few things we need to have the latest information on, including a foolproof way to tell if your bacon is properly cooked. One burger chef has gone viral for trying to show us just that. According to a cook at a Five Guys location in the Netherlands, the easiest way to test your bacon for doneness is to simply pick it up and drop it on the plate or counter. If the bacon breaks into several pieces, it's ready to go. Now, we know that bacon is a personal thing, and while nearly everyone agrees that it's amazing, everyone has their own opinion on how it should be cooked. Many of the nearly 6 million people who watched the video on TikTok were quick to comment. Soft bacon fans were the loudest, calling the super crisp bacon burnt. Others were in heaven, saying that the well-cooked bacon was perfect, adding that they'd refuse to eat any piece of bacon that wasn't cooked just like this.
My goodness.
I mean, we always have to have extremes all the time. You know, there's got to be a happy medium, which is kind of where I sit on the bacon thing. You know, I'd like it a little bit crisp, but, you know, it's got to give as well. I don't want it to just crumble into a million pieces.
No, I'm with you. I mean, aren't you burning out the fat, sort of, if you do it
right,
that much?
Burns
so it
out the taste. I mean, that's,
and the
that's,
taste.
That's why we like bacon, is because it's fatty. I mean, hate to say it, it's not the healthiest thing, but that's what makes it tasty, is that it's because it's so fatty.
Here's a lesson. Let's not take cooking lessons from a Five Guys chef in the Netherlands.
Okay.
Okay? Like, we know our way around meat here in the U.S. We don't need guidance from the Dutch.
I mean, Five Guys is delicious, but I don't go there for their bacon, right? That's not the reason that I show up there.
Yeah, let's go easy there. Yeah, I mean, if you want bacon that hard, you just crumble it in a salad.
Right.
They get your fix in bacon bits. That's fine.
You can use the bacon in many different places.
Right.
It has many different uses. And you wouldn't think that on the surface that Tom Brady and Jennifer Lopez have much in common. He, perhaps the greatest quarterback in NFL history, and she a pop singing superstar and actress. But when you dig deeper, you see there's one common thread between the two that could mean good things for Tampa Bay football fans this season. According to USA Today, every time Jennifer Lopez has gotten married, Tom Brady has won a championship. The streak started way back in 1997 when Lopez was married for the first time, and that was the year that Brady's Michigan Wolverines took home the college football national title. A few years later, in 2001, during Brady's first year as an NFL starter, Lopez remarried, this time to Chris Judd. Brady and the Patriots went on to take home their first Super Bowl. Finally, when Lopez and Mark Anthony took their vows in 2004, Brady's Patriots repeated as champs. Now, Lopez has married yet again, this time to Ben Affleck. So you can believe that bettors have taken notice, with one sportsbook listing Brady's Bucks as just behind the Buffalo Bills as favorites to win it all.
So maybe the fourth time for Jennifer Lopez in terms of marriage is another charm for Tom Brady.
Right. And now, to be clear, every time Brady has won a Super Bowl, that's not a year that Lopez has gotten married.
Correct.
She hasn't gotten married that many times.
Right.
Obviously, she's been to the altar a lot, but not that many times.
Right. And I wonder what we learned from her divorce years
or
separation years.
Yeah, not sure.
Right. What that means for football.
Yeah, I don't know if Brady's won any titles that year.
I like how you opened it, though. Tom Brady, perhaps the greatest quarterback in NFL history.
Perhaps.
And Jennifer Lopez, I thought you were going to say the greatest.
Well, I mean,
nothing came out of that.
Again, that's music. That's a little more subjective, I think.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for being with us. Another study that supports the habits of coffee drinkers. New research in the Annals of Internal Medicine shows people who drink a moderate amount of coffee, up to 3.5 cups a day, might have a better chance at a longer lifespan, even if their coffee is lightly sweetened with sugar. For about 7 years, the researchers tracked the coffee consumption and health of more than 170,000 participants, average age 56, free of cancer and cardiovascular disease when the study started. They found that those who regularly drank 1.5 to 3.5 cups of coffee a day, whether plain or sweetened with about a teaspoon of sugar, were up to 30% less likely to die in that time frame from any cause, including cancer and cardiovascular disease, than were those who did not drink coffee. The type of coffee, whether instant, ground, or decaffeinated, made no difference, but the results were described as inconclusive for the use of artificial sweeteners. 8 minutes now in front of the hour. on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
According to testimony at a primetime hearing of the House committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack, President Trump spent hours in front of a television at the White House watching the riot unfold, ignoring pleas from staff, supporters, and family to call off the rioters, even at times encouraging them. And the committee played a recording of former Trump campaign chair Steve Bannon explaining their post-election strategy.
More of our people vote early that count. Theirs voted mail. And so they're going to have a natural disadvantage, and Trump's going to take advantage of it. That's our strategy. He's going to declare himself a winner. So when you wake up Wednesday morning, it's going to be a firestorm.
The committee says hearings will resume in September.
Number two.
The Department of Homeland Security's internal watchdog has opened a criminal investigation into the destruction of Secret Service phone text messages related to the days around the January 6th Capitol riot. The Secret Service was informed of the investigation by the Office of the Inspector General of DHS, which said the probe is now criminal, and the agency has been ordered to stop internal investigations into the deleted text messages.
Number three.
The Supreme Court has denied an emergency request from the Biden administration to reinstate its immigration enforcement guidelines after a lower court in Texas temporarily blocked them. In a 5-4 decision, the court ruled the administration can't use the guidelines for now and agreed to hear a case on their legality in December. The guidelines instructed officers with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to place a priority on arresting those immigrants in the country illegally who pose a public safety threat. Congressman Lee Zeldin, the Republican candidate for New York governor, was assaulted by a man who apparently tried to stab him at an upstate event yesterday, but the congressman escaped serious injury. Zeldin's campaign said the attacker was taken into custody, and the congressman continued his speech. Actor George Clooney, soul music legend Gladys Knight, and Irish rock band U2 among the 2022 Kennedy Center honorees. Christian pop singer Amy Grant and Cuban-born composer Tanya Leon will also be saluted during the 45th Kennedy Center Honors Gala, which will be held in Washington, D.C. on December 4th. The awards presented annually to artists who have made lasting contributions to American culture.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. The GoFundMe for an Indiana pizza delivery man who saved four children and their 18-year-old sister from a burning home last week has raised more than $530,000 as of this morning. We told you the story yesterday about Nick Bostic of Lafayette, who heroically ran inside a burning home and saved four family members and a friend. The GoFundMe, created by Mr. Bostic's cousin, is to raise funds for his recovery after he suffered cuts, burns, and blisters on his legs and arm due to the fire. Featured on the GoFundMe page is a picture of Mr. Bostic in a hospital bed. He was driving home late at night 11 days ago when he spotted the flames. After alerting the 18-year-old babysitter, he ran back into the flames and fought heavy smoke to search for a 6-year-old child who was still inside. He eventually found her, cradled her in his arms, broke through a second-floor window, and jumped with her to safety. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.